This was an amazing day in Yeshiva. We began to really celebrate with Rav Schefter, and we will continue Amir Tzashem on Sunday. It's just a couple of days away from the Chag HaSmicha, which, thank God, only happens every 3 or 4 years. Because it pretty much shuts down everything around here for a little while, shut down the office upstairs for a couple of weeks. And I'm not really sure what I was thinking when I asked Rabbi Bacon if I could speak tonight, as my head is just filled with numbers and addresses and parking passes and a lot of other things. So I want to speak to you from the heart, which is, I guess, why I asked to speak tonight right before the Chag HaSmicha. The reason why we wanted to do the celebration today with Rav Schefter here was to be able to celebrate not just in front of an audience in Lamport Auditorium, but to celebrate with the yeshiva. And I think that we somewhat accomplished that with the learning together, with the celebrating, the ruach. But it is an interesting thing. It's the most amazing thing that goes on at the yeshiva. There's nothing that's even close to the Chag HaSmicha, and yet it kind of takes place off in Lamport Auditorium. We wish that we could have all the Talmidim there, but we want to continue to do the Chag HaSmicha Dafka on campus. There were years we wanted to move it to Madison Square Garden. And we said it just won't be the same unless we could do it at Yeshiva, and it won't be the same unless we could do it in Lamport Auditorium, where all of our Rebbeim had their Chag HaSmichas, where the Rav used to give shiur for the Yortzeit Shiurim. But the problem is that we can't get everybody in there. Last time we literally had grandmothers scalping for tickets on Amsterdam Avenue, hitting people with their pocketbooks. It was a very difficult scene. We decided to make it every 3 years instead of four to significantly decrease the number of musmachim. But we can't get you in there. So I encourage you to watch. It's very, very inspiring. And I encourage you to be part of the Hachnas Sefer Torah and to give kavod to Rav Schefter. But what exactly does the Chag HaSmicha mean to you? To those who are not participating in the event? To those who aren't in Smicha? To those who are just starting Smicha? I can tell you that for the people in the room, for the parents and the spouses and the grandparents, it's one of the most exciting days of their entire life. I've had parents who I know were kicking and screaming when their son turned down law school to come here, who, when you take a look at their face at the end of the Chag HaSmicha, they know that something went right. But what does it mean to you? I think that the Chag HaSmicha, to the extent that you get a window into watching it and to the extent that it's taking place here on campus, means several things. First of all, it's a chance to see what's at the heart of Yeshiva University. Yeshiva University is a multifaceted place with many, many goals. But at the heart of Yeshiva and at the beginning of Yeshiva, historically, was a yeshiva. And what happens on this Sunday, and even on just a couple of days leading up to it, is that that beautiful fire at the center of what this huge institution is glows the way that it should. And you get to see a celebration of Torah, and you get to remember that, as wonderful as so many things are here at Yeshiva University, without this center of Torah, and I'll go further because I'm speaking from the heart, Our community around the country, what it would be without this Beis Medrash, without you. What it would be without the undergraduates and the Smicha students. You get to see what is at the heart, what is at the fire, what is at the center of the community. Let's be real. The community doesn't depend on Yeshiva University for its Yiddishkeit completely. But it does depend on it to be the heart, the beating heart. And that's what you are, and that's what this yeshiva is. And you see that, and you'll see that on Sunday. There is no other. We have many, many proud graduates of this institution. There is no other graduation or event that we run in this institution that is close to a Chag HaSmicha. There is nothing else that gets full banners outside. There's nothing else for which we close off Amsterdam Avenue except to celebrate the Chag HaSmicha. Number two, what it means to you, I think, is to catch a glimpse into what it would be to learn for Smicha. Whether or not you have the ability to spend the extra couple of years. There are many people who are going to be finishing at the Chag HaSmicha who didn't think that they could eke out the years to be able to do this. Many who are going to law school and medical school now. Many of whom are coming back from careers to now do Smicha. And there are many people who are going to be standing on, walking up onto that stage on Sunday, who thought that they couldn't put in a couple of more years. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us Shivim Shana in Begvuros, Shmonim Shana here on earth. And all of our circumstances are different. But it makes a very big difference, those few extra years of learning, in terms of developing you and who you are. You'll rarely see someone who gets up on that stage who says there's anything better that I could have done with the last couple of years than actually finish Smicha. But perhaps more importantly, what the Chag HaSmicha has to mean to everybody here is to think about what their contribution will be for Klal Yisrael. What is their unique contribution going to be? And could it be that yours is supposed to be an Avodas HaKodesh? Yes, to become a rabbi, a teacher, a campus rabbi, an administrator. There's some people who are born thinking that that's what they're going to do, and they really shouldn't. But I think there's so many people out there who just never give it enough thought. People ask me, should I be a rabbi? And I say, I think you should rule it out first. I think you should rule it out first. The Mishnah Avos tells us, Rabbi Gamliel ben Osher, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer, Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. We have to have Talmud Torah, we have to have Derech Eretz, which probably means a Parnassa. You have to make a Parnassa, you have to set yourself up for life. That's what we do here in YU. We set yourself up to be a Ben Torah, to be able to make a Parnassa. And then the Mishnah strangely wanders into the fact that Kol HaMeili Min HaTzibur should do so L'Shem Shamayim. The Maharal says, what in the world does the end of the Mishnah have to do with the beginning? What is the end of the Mishnah V'Kol HaMeili Min HaTzibur that they should do so L'Shem Shamayim? It would be nice if those who did Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz should go to work L'Shem Shamayim. The Maharal points out, and others point out, that Talmud Torah we can learn for ourselves. And Derech Eretz we do for ourselves and our families. But what do we do for Klal Yisrael? And I know learning could be for Klal Yisrael as well. But it's very often to build ourselves, which is wonderful, which is beautiful, which is exactly what we should be doing at this stage in our lives. But Imat Sibor, that you do, hopefully, L'Shem Shemayim. The Maharal says it would be a waste to do that, not L'Shem Shemayim. You can even do that for yourself. And there are many people, unfortunately, who do, who go into the Rabbanus for kavod, at least they think so, who go into the Rabbanus because they decide it's the best way to stay in learning, who go into chinuch not because they like children, but because they like to learn. Yes, you can do that also, not L'Shem Shemayim. But the Torah and the Derech Eretz with which the Mishnah starts, that we generally do for ourselves. What are we doing for Klal Yisrael? What are we doing L'Shem Tzibur? There are many answers to that question. And it has to do with you, and it has to do with what you're comfortable with, and Mirtz Hashem, what your spouse is comfortable with. But it also has to do with the profession that you pick. I'm always amazed at people who put so much more effort into figuring out who should be their evening chavrusa than what they should do professionally and what that means for them. Who put more hours into looking at the top of a lulav than looking forward into their lives and seeing what the different professions mean. Think about it, Rabosai. Whatever profession you pick, pick well. It's going to be what you do for most of the day, for most of the week, for most of your life. Find a nice pair of tefillin, that's mehudar. Find a nice lulav and esrog. Get a nice pair of tzitzis. But choose carefully what you're going to do with most of your day, for most of your week, for most of your life. Rabosai, Avodas HaKodesh is not for everybody, and there aren't positions for everybody. But it's scary how many there are out there, even now with the economy as it is. How many positions are out there for assistant rabbis across the country that we don't have you guys to fill? And if you're not going to do it, who's going to do it? It's very easy to think of volunteering, of helping, of giving. All these things are wonderful. But at least some of you need to be considering even more strongly, can I do this for most of my day, for most of my week, for most of my life? We only need the best of you to do this. It's an amazing Mishnah which talks about the Shemen that we heard about at the beginning of last week's Parsha. The Mishnah says in Menachos, Shlosha Zaysim. There are three different kinds of Zaysim on the tree. Uvahen Shlosha Shlosha Shmonim. And each Zayas, the different interpretations, three different times we pick it. It's in the 8th parak in the Mishnayas, the 9th parak in the Gemara in Menachos. There are three different harvests of the olives. The top of the tree ripens first, then the middle and then the bottom. And each one of those olives goes through three processes. There's a light tap at the beginning, and that's where you get what we call extra virgin olive oil. If you're looking in the supermarket. That means they did very little to it. It's going to have very little schmutz in there. And then they go with a korah, and they push down hard. And then they take the rest of the olives and they mash them up. There are three processes. And says the Mishnah, Harishon Lamenorah. The first goes to the menorah, goes to the light. Vashar Lamenachos. And the rest goes for flour. It's true that Emein Torah Ein Kemach. And Emein Kemach Ein Torah. But the second two pushes go to the Kemach. Harishon Lamenorah. We don't need everyone in this room to become a rabbi. But we need the Rishon. We need those who are the most talented to give this real, significant thought to make this your life. There are many reasons not to go into the Rabbanus. Don't get me wrong. I've taught in schools. I was a shul rabbi. I'm here. It's not the easiest thing to do for a living. Certainly not the week before a Chag HaSmicha. But I could tell you that when I get up in the morning and I realize that I'm in my late 40s and I'm still going to the Beis Medrash for work, I feel like the luckiest person in the world. And when I look at my bag and I open up my briefcase and the papers that I have in there, and how much more it even was when I got to be a shul rabbi. When the books that I had in there were Sfarim that I brought to work. And the papers that I had in there were a shir that I was going to give. And I said, wow, this is an amazing thing to do for most of my day, for most of my week, for most of my life. It's not simple. There certainly are other professions where you could do better financially, although today it's not so simple in any profession. It looks very difficult to be a Rav, to be a Rav of a community, to be a teacher. But as Rabbi Lam, he should be well, Rabbi Lam always told the Smicha fellows, Stop complaining about your jobs. Everybody works hard, certainly in New York. I'm here at 9:45 at night. But so are my friends who went into law. They're also still at work. You work hard. It's part of being crazy and living in New York. It doesn't have to do with the rabbinate. You don't know everything. I both say none of us know everything. And remember that the top of the tree and the middle of the tree and the bottom of the tree, very different kinds of people are needed to go. But the first press, the first group, that's La Menorah. That's to spread the light. That's to spread the Torah. Don't get me wrong, Rabosa. You're not a failure if you didn't become a rabbi. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a tafkid for every single one of us. And we all know, and we've all had a long hour path to get here today, Rabbanim who probably shouldn't have been Rabbanim. Mechanchim who didn't do us a favor, didn't do the Ribono Shel Olam a favor by being in Chinuch. Your goal is not to go into Avodas HaKodesh, it's to figure out what your tafkid is. But I encourage you to first ask yourself, could it be in Avodas HaKodesh? Because if it is, and you can do that, you'll simply be one of the luckiest people in the world. As I said, it's not easy to teach. It's not easy to be a rav. It's not easy to deal with the tzibur. Kol yu ameilim im tzibur. Ameilim im tzibur. But it truly makes you the luckiest person in the world. When I was at my shul for 10 years, they honored my wife and I at a dinner, and I insisted that my rabbi growing up, Rabbi Benjamin Yudin, who still teaches here in Yeshiva and still the Rav in Fairlawn, I insisted that Rabbi Yudin come to the dinner. And I got up at the dinner and I said something which he never knew. And I told my shul, why did I become a rabbi? Because I looked at my rabbi growing up, and Rabbi Yudin is such an exceptional human being, such a tzaddik. And I said, this man is going to Olam Haba. And I know it sounds really simple and really corny, but I said, I think I want to do the same thing that he did. I remember as a teenager, trying to decide between going to YU and possibly becoming a rabbi, Nebuch, and going to a prominent school to become a doctor. And someone gave me a sefer, and at the time, my whole life was simply SATs. And I remember him writing in it that it's not all about the SATs. It's about what he called the OHEE, the Olam Haba Entry Exam. And at some point I said to myself, isn't that really the goal? And life won't be as easy. It'll be more rewarding. But isn't that really the goal? So as we get to the Chag HaSmicha, I encourage you to do the following. Think about what your kochos are. Think about what your unique contribution can be. And say to yourself, I'm not going to be a rav. Make that decision first. First think, can it be, could it be that you could find yourself teaching Torah all day? And again, if a person goes to work, it's wonderful, it's important, it's what the Ribono Shel Olam wants you to do. We believe in the value of work, and we believe that that's also L'Shem Shemayim. But how lucky you could be if you could go every day to work with a briefcase filled with Sfarim instead of papers to be signed. And how lucky you could be if you could be involved all day directly, hands-on with Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. with the Torah. When I've made this speech before, I've always made it too strongly. Probably not a good thing for me to do, as I'm very emotional before the Chag HaSmicha. But I'm only doing so because the decisions that I know I've made in my life have been so enriching to me. And because I know what's out there and how much the right young men are needed to be the next generation of leadership. The biggest myth is that there are too many rabbis out there. There are a lot of rabbis out there. There aren't enough great rabbis out there. And the difference between the Rishon Lamenorah, between our stars, the stars in this room, going into the Rabbanus, or having someone else just fill the position, is all about whether our community truly has a future. I encourage you all to celebrate, to dance, to honor Rav Schechter, to spend 2 minutes during the Chag HaSmicha saying, could this be me?